You're listening to Fracturing Football, where producers Luke Donovan and Spencer Fleischer break down the latest in fantasy football news, only on 91.3 WHJE.
Welcome to Fracturing Football. I'm your host, Spencer Fleischer. Alongside me is Luke Donovan, as well as our two guests, Miles Embry and Jonah Grant. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good.
Pretty good.
So, Luke, we're starting off with the Thursday night game, Bears-Packers. The Packers scored a small amount of 10 points, and the Bears scored an even smaller amount of 3 points. What do you think about that game?
You know, one thing I thought that was a big key in that game was the Bears' offense. The Bears' offense did absolutely nothing in that game. Trubisky, 228 yards and an interception. Not where you want to be going into basically your second season, trying to improve, trying to get your team to the next level after losing in Wild Card Weekend last year.
You know what I will say about the Bears, though, is that most of their key offensive players didn't do very much in the preseason. That doesn't mean that it's an excuse for them to play like they did, but I do understand why most of their stars weren't able to do a whole lot.
On the flip side of the ball, you have Aaron Rodgers, who, in my opinion, had a great game. 203 yards and a touchdown. Didn't turn the ball over. Didn't have the explosive Aaron Rodgers game like we used to, but he did have that one drive where he did score that touchdown, and that was the real difference in this game. And I think that's the difference we see between Aaron Rodgers and Mitchell Trubisky. Aaron Rodgers, even though he's going to get up against one of the best defenses in the NFL, still able to make plays deep down the field and score touchdowns, and that was ultimately the difference in this one. All right, now we're going to move on down to the Rams and the Panthers. The Rams were able to seal that win 30-27, but Jared Goff did not play the type of game you would want him to play. 186 yards, did throw a touchdown, but he also did have an interception in what was a very sloppy game played by both quarterbacks.
Yeah, he reminds me that this Jared Goff game reminds me of how he played in the Super Bowl, and I think he's still focusing on that, and that's still in the back of his mind. And that's the reason why he isn't playing up to speed like he should. He's making big money. He should be making big plays and having big games. But a disappointment that I've seen on the Rams side of the offense is Todd Gurley. They barely played Todd Gurley. He only had 15 total touches, 11.1 points, 101 yards. That's very disappointing when I look at that, because Todd Gurley for me is a first-round pick, like late first, early second. So when a late first, early second's only getting 11.1 points, that's alarming to me.
Well, going into the season, we knew that Gurley was going to be on a snap count. What we didn't know was how many carries their other two running backs were actually going to take going into week one. Their backup running back, Malcolm Brown, actually scored 2 rushing touchdowns. Because of Gurley's knee throughout the end of last season and this offseason, I think they're just going to have to limit him this year because they want to keep him for long term.
I think Gurley is going to be fine this year. I think 2 touchdowns that did go to Brown, they're going to kind of carry over into Gurley a little bit more. I think the Panthers, you know, are a good run defense, and I just don't see that in other teams. I think Gurley will be fine this year. Maybe not as a late first round, early second, but I think he will still put up solid RB2 numbers for your teams going on in the future.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And now for the other side of the ball, Cam Newton. 239 yards and 2 turnovers, had an interception and a fumble. Very disappointing day for Cam Newton fantasy owners.
Yeah, I have Cam Newton on my team, and that was just a very big disappointment for me. I expected Cam to have a great season, and so far he's just not playing with what I expected. But you also have to take into account how good the Rams defense is. And that. So going on to the Sunday night game, we have the Patriots at 33, the Steelers at 3. The Steelers got demolished by the Patriots. As we saw, the Patriots' secondary is one of the best, if not the best, in the league. And they also have one of the best wide receiver cores without playing Antonio Brown. They had Julian Edelman, 6 receptions, 91 yards. Josh Gordon, 3 receptions, 73 yards. Philip Dorsett, 4 receptions, 95 yards. And that's excluding Antonio Brown.
Yeah, this team is the best in the league, offensive-wise, maybe defensive-wise, definitely their secondary. Tom Brady, you know, the greatest of all time, 6 Super Bowls. He's throwing to White, Burkhead, Edelman, Gordon, and Brown now. And Dorsett even had a really good game with two touchdowns. So this team is set up, it's complete, and they're going to have a great year.
The fact that the Patriots were able to put 33 points up against a pretty good team without even using Sony Michel very much and without even using James White that much and without Antonio Brown this week is kind of incredible. Their threats of Edelman and Dorsett and Gordon are just an overwhelming, you know, group of receivers.
I think the way they used Sony Michel in that game, only had 14 yards, but the key for them that game was the play action pass. They would have Sony Michel, James Devlin in the backfield. They would fake the handoff, and they would throw it deep to Philip Dorsett. They would throw it over the middle to Josh Gordon. They would throw it for a first down to Julian Edelman, and I think that's what we're going to see in the future, and it's only going to get better with Antonio Brown joining the team. Belichick said just a few minutes ago that it is day-to-day to see if Antonio Brown will join the team next week. And what I think is going to be another explosive matchup for the Patriots against the Dolphins.
So moving on to that stunner, Texans at Saints, we had Will Lutz make a game-winning field goal from 58 yards, which was his career-long. And the Texans played an amazing game. Deshaun Watson had almost a game-winning drive, and it was two plays. It was one 39-yard play and one 38-yard play.
The Texans and the Saints both have very strong offenses and very solid defenses, so watching the game last night was really entertaining. Some key pieces for me was the Saints receiving core. They were able to get Ted Ginn, and they were able to get Michael Thomas, both going, both with over 100 yards receiving, and they were also able to use the rest of their receiving core as well to draw coverage off them. Drew Brees overall played great. Same with the Texans receiving core, getting all of their main guys, you know, going, and Deshaun Watson feeling good.
And let's look at the key pieces next to the quarterback for the Texans. Duke Johnson Jr., 13 points, 4 receptions, 33 yards, 57 rush yards. And Carlos Hyde, 9.5 fantasy points, 83 yards with the catch for 2 yards. I think that these two players for the Texans are going to be key pieces moving forward. If they can get them both going like they did against the Saints, it'll be something to watch out for. It'll get Hopkins open down the field like we saw. 2 touchdowns, 111 yards. And then if you look at the other backfield, Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray, 23.9 for Kamara, 12.7 for Murray. And, I mean, these backfields are so good on these two teams. And I think, you know, the way Kamara and Murray played, that if that can continue over, you're going to see guys like Michael Thomas and Ted Ginn have big games as well. You know, that's all the time we have for today. You're listening to Fracturing Football only on 91.3 WHJE. I'm Luke Donovan alongside me, Spencer Fleischer, signing off here. Good luck in week 2 of your fantasy football season.